Go back, if you would, to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Let me begin with a question here, or a few questions here. How do you feel you are doing as a child of God? How do you feel you're doing? And I'm being very serious. I'm being very, very serious here. As a believer, we can't claim to be believers. One of God's elect, we acknowledge God's election. As a child of God, do you feel like you are living up to the standard that you ought to live up to? Do you feel that way? And I mean very serious. Do you feel like a child of God? Do you feel like a child of God? Honestly. In your thoughts, in your emotions, in your desires, toward the gospel, toward worship, toward the brethren, toward whatever, are you happy and are you satisfied with your thoughts and your emotions and your desires? Are you satisfied with the level of spirituality that you see and feel in yourself? And here's the reason I ask that. Some people are satisfied with what they see and feel in themselves. Some people are. Some people feel like they're just getting holier and holier. Go out into false religion and ask them. They're satisfied. You feel like you're doing a good job? Yeah. Yeah, I do. How about you? How about you, really? I feel like I'm getting worse and worse and worse. If I could just hold what I was doing a few years ago, I'd be better off than I am now. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. So I ask this question to you. Do you feel holy? The Scripture says in Christ, we are holy. That's what it says. Do you feel holy? Knowing that the Lord is looking directly into our mind, my mind, your mind. He is looking directly into our hearts. Are you happy with what He's looking at? That rich young ruler said to the Lord one time, concerning the commandments of the law, he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Can you say that with him? You know, people talk about obeying the law. And I've heard people say, well, now the rich young ruler, you know, he said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. Well, great. That's him. What about me and you? Can we say that with him? Which he didn't. Do you, like me, have to say, all that I have done from my youth up is sin against God? That's all I've done. When you really stop and think about these things, do you have any other choice than to say, I am so vile? When you really take a minute and think about it, I am so vile. I'm just so vile. If that is the way that we sincerely feel, then number one, we need to be thanking God for that. Number one, If we really do feel that way, and we're not just putting it on, you know, oh yeah, you know. If we sincerely do feel that way, number one, we need to be thanking God for that, because that is the first work of God's Holy Spirit when He comes to one of God's own. The first thing that the Spirit does when He comes to a man or a woman is He convinces them of their sin. It's the first thing. If we do not feel continual disgust over our sin, something's wrong. Now, I feel it, and I know you feel it, because you come talking to me about it all the time. I'm just so mad at myself. I'm just so disgusted with myself. Here's the truth of the matter. If we do not feel continual disgust over our sin, something's wrong. If anybody hears this right now in this room, on the internet, in the future, whenever, I'll listen to messages off sermon audio that were preached back in the 70s. And he'll say, if anybody ever hears this, and I'll think, I am right now. If anybody ever hears this, if the Lord tarries till 2070 and somebody hears this, recognize this. If we don't feel a continual disgust over our sin, something's wrong. There's no spiritual life there. Something's wrong. Are you saying that we can't have happy moments and joyful moments in the Lord? I pray we have continual joy in the Lord. Just continual joy in the Lord. But joy in the Lord does not bring a denial of sin in the flesh. Our sin in the flesh is what truly fuels our joy in the Lord. If we are not plagued by a constant awareness of our sin, then we need to start begging God to plague us with it. I don't recommend we ask for trials. Don't do that. When we say, Lord, increase our faith, what we're saying is sin trials. We need to be careful what we ask for. And I'm telling you, for our eternal good, if I do not feel like I'm a sinner, Christ came to save sinners. And if I don't think I'm one of them, I better be begging God to reveal the truth to me. I need to be begging God to plague me with this. Because that plaguing is the direct work of God's Holy Spirit driving us to Christ. That's what drives us to Christ, as painful and as awful as this awareness is. It's God's goodness to us. It is the work of God's Spirit in us, driving us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Showing us there's only one remedy. There's only one hope. There's only one place of safety. Only one place of forgiveness. Driving us to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Driving us to the salvation that is in that blood. And if you know this vile awareness like I do, if you enter into this with me, and if it drives you to Christ like it drives me to Christ, then listen to this, all right? I have something here that I believe is true comfort. I believe I have some true comfort for all of us who are in this painful condition together. Concerning all of this vile wickedness and sinfulness that's in this body of death that we're carrying around, walking around in. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect it. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I believe I have something. This has brought such hope to me and such encouragement to me. David is saying on behalf of himself and on behalf of all of God's people, Lord, I believe that you will perfect everything concerning me. He went on to say, Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. I believe that your mercy endures forever like you said it did. He said, Forsake not the works of thine own hands. He's saying, This is my only hope, that you will not forsake the works of your own hand. That you, if you started the work, that you will decide that, well, I'm not going to finish it. I'm going to move on to something else. My hope is in the fact that you will not forsake the works of your own hand. Now, I truly do believe that I have a word of encouragement for us. This has just been wonderful for me. I believe I've really learned something through studying this. And I don't want this to just be educational. That was my fear in this. I pray this will be a blessing. I really pray this will be an encouragement to you. This has helped me. If you struggle with this, maybe this will help you too. Verse 8 says, The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Now just bear with me here for a minute while I get through the middle section of this message and these notes, okay? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That word perfect means complete. It means finish. It means bring to an end. The Lord will complete. He will finish. He will bring to an end that which concerneth me. Now, this is important. If we know anything about the cross of Calvary, if we know anything about the cross of Calvary, we will say, I thought he already did. I thought he cried, It is finished. I thought we were complete in him. He did. He did say that. And we are. He did cry, It is finished. And we are complete in him. Look at Psalm 71 with me. Psalm 71, verse 23 says, My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. David said, In Christ my soul is most definitely redeemed. My lips shall rejoice and my soul shall rejoice, which thou hast redeemed. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 verse 11 says, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, watch this, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By one offering, he obtained it. All of it. All of it. He finished it. It's complete. It's perfected. All right? But look at this. And you've all seen this verse of Scripture, and maybe it's grabbed you before like it's grabbed me before. Turn with me to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That word perform means perfect. He will perfect it. He will complete it. The one who started it will finish it, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, I don't understand. If something is yet to be finished, how can I find comfort in that? Turn back one page to Ephesians 4. Verse 30, Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He said, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Again, I don't understand. I thought he already obtained redemption. Why is a day of redemption still to come? Look at Ephesians 1. The last two words of verse 12 say, in Christ. Verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. There it is again. What's this talking about? What is this performance, this perfection, this redemption that's still to come? If we truly know something of the vileness of our flesh that we're plagued with every day, this ought to bring great hope to us. Such great hope to us. If we constantly look at ourselves and say, if it be so, why am I thus? And you know what I'm talking about. If it be so, why am I thus? This ought to bring great comfort to us. I'm going to tell this to us, and then I'm going to show it to you in the Word, okay? I'm just going to tell this and prove it after that. When our Lord came to this earth the first time, He came to redeem our souls from destruction. And He did it. He did it. He obtained eternal redemption for our souls. And this is the realization that has brought such hope and such comfort to me, because I'm so disgusted by what I see in myself. When our Lord comes back the second time, He is coming back to redeem our bodies from destruction. First time He came and He redeemed our souls. And He's coming back, and this is why did He do it this way? This was according to His will and purpose. This is the way He chose to do it. When He ascended back on high, why didn't He just take us then? There's no time with God. He can just say it and it's so. Why did He go to come again? Our Lord, when He came, He endured the cross for our eternal souls. The life of the body is the soul. And when He endured that cross, our Lord removed all the filth and all the vileness and all the wickedness and all the spotted sinfulness from our souls. He removed it. It's gone. He made our souls spotless, as the Scripture says they are. Perfect, complete, washed. He made our souls holy. Truly holy. As His soul is, so are our souls right now in this world. Your souls are holy, washed, spotless, clean. That's what He accomplished for us when He came. And the result of that accomplishment, the end of that accomplishment is, the moment He comes back, He's going to reveal to our bodies the same redemption that He revealed to our souls. Look with me, if you would, at Romans 8. This will explain it. If you wonder, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? This explains it. Romans 8 verse 10 says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Who's a person dwelling in you? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, watch this, waiting for the adoption to know the redemption of our body. He said, we're waiting for it with hope. Expected anticipation. The Lord will perfect that which concerns us. If He began the work, He will perform it all the way to the end. Honestly, I look at myself. I believe God's Word. If it says I'm holy in Christ, I'm holy in Christ. And I believe it. I just can't see it. This flesh, I cannot see holiness in this flesh, but I'm going to. In the same way that I see holiness in Christ, and in the same way that by faith I see holiness in the soul that Christ has redeemed, I'm going to see it in this flesh too. He's going to perform this redemption all the way to the end. It's ordered, it's sure. Our eternal souls are already spotless and holy, and we're just anxiously awaiting for our bodies to be in the same condition. It's going to happen. If He started the work, He'll perform it all the way to the end. It's all finished. All of His works were finished from the foundation of the world. But according to His good time, it will be performed all the way to the end. The Apostle Paul said, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver me from this body of death. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Lord, I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. How? How is He going to do that? And I'm going to be quick. But just turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, okay? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 49, it says, "As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." That's what I am right now, corruption. Flesh and blood. Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 3, he said, "We're looking for the Savior. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said, here's the reason why. It's because when He comes back, He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. The Apostle John said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be," because we're going to be changed. John said, when He appears, the moment He appears, when He appeared the first time, He put away the sin of our eternal souls. And when He appears that second time, the moment we see Him, John said, we'll be just like Him. We will be just like Him. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the voice of the trump of God. The clouds are going to part. We're all going to be, the dead are going to be raised. We're all going to be caught up together into the clouds to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. If we are plagued by everything we see in these vile bodies and we don't understand why still so much sin, if my sin is gone, if it's put away, if it's forgiven, if I'm redeemed, if why is this still here? If that's our plaguing, then hope in this. The moment He returns for us, all filth, all vileness, all wickedness, all decaying sinfulness will be eternally removed from our bodies like He has removed it from our souls. He's removed every bit of that from our souls. And He will do every bit of that for our bodies. He will perfect that which concerns us. He will perfect us. We're waiting, and He'll do it. He will perfect us. And the moment He does, we're going to feel just like a child of God. We're going to feel like a child of God. None of God's people do right now because we have not received the redemption of our bodies. But we're going to feel just like a child of God, and I'm telling you, we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be so satisfied with the level of our spirituality. We'll be satisfied with what we see in ourselves and feel in ourselves. And God will look directly into our minds and He'll see the thoughts and the desires of the heart that are the very same thoughts and the desires of the heart that Christ has. Same mind. And we're going to be happy about it. And sin is never going to plague us ever again. In Psalm 17, David said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And that's the moment we'll be satisfied too. So here's the point. Hang in there. That's the point. Hang in there. Oh, so much sin, so much sin, so many bad thoughts, so many bad things, this awful tongue. Hang in there. Wait on the Lord. He will perfect you. You're going to be perfect. You're going to end up perfect. The Lord will perfect that which concerns us. His mercy endures forever. He will not forsake the work of His own hands. He will not do it. Pray that it'll bring some hope to us and some comfort to us and help us through all of this sin. I pray it'll help us as we endure all of